Well, today we are diving into our 13-week study on Genesis. And if you weren't here last week, my brother Glenn gave an incredible platform for us to kind of launch this study from. If you missed that message, it's available on YouTube or Facebook or on our website. Definitely worth checking out as he really lays kind of the groundwork, ground rules, as well as kind of gives a taste of what we can look forward to as we walk through the book of Genesis. I'd also encourage you, take time. I'll make sure a schedule is available. It'll go out with the New Hope News that gives a rough schedule of where we're going to be in Genesis over these next 13 weeks so that you could read along with us. I think that if you come having read the text, it's helpful because then it's all fresh on your mind because you've been looking at it during the week. As an overview, Glenn said last week that the book of Genesis, like much of the book of life, is filled with fortunate events and unfortunate events. And even our everyday can be filled with fortunate moments and unfortunate moments. And that ultimately the groundwork of the walking through the roller coaster of fortunate and unfortunate events that is life is a deep, abiding trust in God. Amen? Today, we're going to flesh out kind of what some of that trust looks like. We'll be looking at the creation narrative in Genesis 1 and 2. And oftentimes, as we look at Genesis 1 and 2, this creation narrative, the question that comes to many, many minds and has been coming to many minds for many, many years is how, right? How? How did it happen? And I'm going to answer that for you today. No, I'm not. I'm kidding you. I have no idea. I have no idea how. And if you know me very well, you know that I'm really comfortable with not knowing things. And so what I think as I read through and studied Genesis 1 and 2, that there is it's not wrong or bad to think about the how, right? I think that can be productive. It can challenge us intellectually. It can build up our mental fortitude and certainly get us into some great debates, right? But there is a question that I think really gives us resolve in our life as image bearers of God. And that question is, why? So as we look at Genesis 1 and 2, instead of us mulling hard over the how, we're going to look a little bit at the why. Why did God create the world? Why did God create us? There's a lot of sermons that could be preached, even on this topic of why. It speaks to the fact that Genesis 1 and 2 speaks to the fact that we're created to worship. It speaks to the fact that we were created to have dominion over creation. Very interesting concept and topic to dig into. It speaks to how we're created for work and stewardship. And I was tempted to go there this morning because we live in a time, and really ever since like Rome and the Greeks, Pandora's box, where work was kind of a curse, was the perspective of work, right? Even today, I look at how our culture interacts with work, and I think oftentimes they're like, the less the better, right? But work was in paradise. God did work. And he created us to do work. He created us to do good work, right? Yeah. And so there's a wonderful sermon there that I'm not going to preach today. But it's about work and rest, and it lays out a beautiful picture of what life in work and rest looks like and how work is a blessing. What I do want to talk about, and this probably will come as like no surprise to anyone in the room who knows me, is the element of Genesis 1 and 2 that stuck out to me profoundly was relationship. And I know many of you are going, yep, Aaron read the Bible, and here he is talking to us about relationship again. But I think you'll see why. At least I hope, Lord willing, you'll see why we're going to talk about relationship this morning. So let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the ways that you move and speak through us. God, I thank you for this community. God, I thank you that we can love and encourage and build each other up, that we can lay out straight paths for one another so that this journey of life and growing in maturity in Christ, that we can grow better and better together into your image. God, I pray that you would reveal the truth of your word through the word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, like a lot of what Glenn talked about last week, there's a lot of mystery throughout all of Scripture. And so I always challenge people that when they are listening to anyone teach, but certainly include me in that anyone teaching, you test it. You test it. You go, you read the Word, you see, do I see these things that Aaron mentioned today? Let's start at the very beginning. Genesis 1:1. Okay? In the beginning, God created. And we're going to pause there because I said we weren't going to get into how, but I'm going to answer one how question here. No matter what your perspective is on how God created the world, or if you're in a position like me where I'm like, meh, one thing we can say with certainty, right, is that God created it, okay? It wasn't an accident. It wasn't chance. That word create in Hebrew is to make something from nothing, and it is only used for God. He did it, so we can hold on to. There is a truth. No matter what your perspectives are on creation, you can hold fast to the fact that it was created by God. Let's continue. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So here we see the very beginning, and we already see that God is present and the Spirit of God is present. And that word for hovering is a word that's used for a mother bird. It's like how in any other use of it that I saw anyway, it's used for a mother bird like hovering over and protecting its nest, or as the eggs hatch and you have little birds learning how to fly, hovering over and helping the baby birds learn to fly. So the Spirit is there and it's hovering, it's caring for. Before we kind of get into the rest of the Genesis narrative, I do want to jump over and look at another creation account because I think it's going to be helpful. We're talking about relationship. And so I think in order for us to get the proper backdrop, we have to go to John 1:1-3. It says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John goes on in this gospel, later in this chapter, to tell us to identify the Word as the Son of God, Son of the Father. And even later, at verse 17, he states that this Word has a name, Jesus Christ. And so now, with Genesis 1 and 2 and John 1 through 3, John 1:1-3, we have all persons of the triune Godhead are present at creation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you might be asking yourself, okay, yeah, I mean, I believed that already. So why are you making a big stink about this? We're talking about relationship. Every other monotheistic religion believes that relationship started as an outcome of creation. See what I'm saying? So every other monotheistic religion believes that relationship, love, began as an outcome of creation. But for us, we see in the three persons of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that relationship, love, community, delight in each other existed before creation. Creation is an outpouring of existing relationship. It's amazing. And it's relevant as we go forward. So from there, in Genesis 1, I'm not going to read through all of it. Many of you are very familiar, and we've got a lot of text to cover today with chapter 1 and 2. But from there, we have the creation account in Genesis 1, which is beautiful. It's written like a poem or a song. You see a lot of repetition in Genesis 1. And we see 6 days or periods of creation. And in the first 3, we see space created. And then in the second 3, we see space occupied. It's beautiful. So in day 1, let there be light, right? Day 2, let there be sky and sea. Day 3, let the waters gather and make dry land, and let the land produce vegetation. 3 spaces. Day 4, God populates this space called light, and he creates the sun and the moon and the stars. Day 5, let the water teem with sea creatures, birds, and creatures of the air. So he then populates the sea and sky from day 2. And on the 6th day, he populates the dry ground with living creatures. And at each point of creation, God says, it's what? It's good. It's good. But then we have this little shift here. On the 6th day, he creates the living creatures, and then he says, the pronoun changes. He says, let us, okay? Let's look at that. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We'll see this fleshed out in chapter 2, and we'll look at that in a second. But God makes man in the image of God, right? But he says, let us, right? So he's saying, let us, speaking Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. That's important. So hold on to that. And then we come to day 7, and God looks and he goes, well, first he says very good about the creation of man. And then he says, the work is finished. And he rested. So quick recap, we know that God created the heavens and the earth, that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in the creation of the world, a loving community pouring out and creating together. I imagine this for, you know, I don't know about you, but maybe I'm a weirdo, but when I grew up, you know, and as I've thought about creation, oftentimes I kind of imagine, right, this old man walking into a dark room and being like, light, stars, water, you know, and it's like, it's kind of like that movie Fantasia, right? It's just like boom, boom, and bright lights, and but it's so much more than that, and I think it's important because as a society that's individualistic and materialistic, you've heard me talk about that recently, I think it's important to imagine this being a community event, okay? The three persons of God in a dance, and out of their incredible delight and love for each other is pouring out creation. The reason why I think it's important to look at it that way is because we have another creation account. And you might not have, I honestly hadn't thought of this one until I was preparing this message. There's a creation account in Proverbs, okay? In Proverbs 8, 22 through 31, it gives a creation account from the perspective of wisdom. As I read through this and thought about the incredible parallels between this account of wisdom and John 1, speaking about Jesus, I tend to think that this wisdom that is being referred to in Proverbs is in fact the Word, is in fact Jesus himself. But again, test that. At the end of this account, though, Proverbs 8, 30 and 31, it says this. Then I was constantly, I being wisdom, was constantly at his side, his being God the Father. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now, this word rejoicing, Hebrew word rejoicing here, means to play, to laugh, to be merry. And many of us know that to delight, the concept of delight is like a profound enjoyment. And so as you have in Proverbs 8, 30 and 31, this bounce, this wordplay between delight and rejoicing, doesn't that kind of look like a dance, right? You have this profound enjoyment in each other, profoundly satisfied in each other, God, Son, Holy Spirit, and they're rejoicing, they're playing, they're laughing, they're being merry, they're dancing together. Why is that important? Well, because we're made in their image. For starters, let me show you what I mean. So as we look deeper into the creation narrative now with man in Genesis 2, I'm going to read verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7, skip a few. We're going to go to 15 and read through the end of chapter 2 at 25. So in verse 7 of Genesis 2, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And then Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, there's that work we spoke about, and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Before we move forward there, where it says this is now, I prefer, there's other translations that say things like, at last, or finally, right? This is the experience that Adam is having. At last, finally. Hold on to that. Verse 24. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. It's the word of the Lord. The most striking part, and maybe for just me, but hopefully for all of us, I find it incredibly striking of this text, is we just came out of Genesis 1. It is good, 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 very good, right? This is a good place. This is God, the perfect creator, saying, it is all so good. The food is good. The prayer life's good because you're walking with God. Here you are in paradise, and it is good, 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 good. We get to verse 18, and God says something alarming. Right? It's not good for man to be alone. Did he make a mistake? Right? This is the question I have for you right now, for you to ponder for this moment. Good, 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 very good. Perfection, great food, great work. Everything's satisfying. You're walking with God. Not good. What's that mean? Did he make a mistake? Well, we have no indication that God makes mistakes. So I think you can hold on to the fact that that's not the case here. What it says to me is that when you're created, right, in the image of an us, you need us. When you're created in the image of an us, God intentionally created Adam so that even in paradise, he needed us. That's remarkable. And that should speak radical truths into your reality in a culture that says it's all about you. In order to get your Western paradise, you sacrifice whatever relationships, unless they're benefiting you, to get as much as you can so that you can build paradise. Paradise isn't paradise without people. Okay, you with me? Paradise isn't paradise without people. At the core of how we were created to be in relationship. We were created to join the dance. God created us in his image so that we could join in their joy, in their seeing their glory, receiving and benefiting from their joy. But you're also created by the Creator deep down for other human beings. You're made for other human beings. Now, certainly, if you've read this text or studied this text before, there are elements of the creation of Eve that speak into marriage, that speak into what it means to be a man and a woman, what that looks like, and there are a lot of different varying perspectives on that. What I want to zoom out on here is that the Bible doesn't say that in order to experience deep relationship, you've got to be married. It's actually quite unique in that. Paul in Corinthians says, Paul's going, there's benefits to being single. Okay? So that God created us for this deep relationship. Paul, and I mean, if we look at Jesus, he wasn't married. The deep relationship was not dependent on marriage. Okay? That's what I'm going to say. You can debate that with me later if you'd like. Okay? So that's where I want us to kind of stand as we look at this text. Rather than zooming in and trying to understand some of the nuances of Eve, it certainly was about procreation. It certainly was about, you know, sex and marriage. But zoom out and say, it's also about something else. A need for deep relationship that even paradise couldn't quench. Here at New Hope, our vision statement is growing together towards maturity in Christ. And I believe that growth is heavily conditional on relationship, okay? Best case, it's at least conditional on relationship with God, okay? Right? Everyone can agree on that. I'd like to take it a step further and say, I think it's conditional on relationship with community, with each other. Why do I think that? Each and every one of us are different. We're created. We're image bearers. We're created to do what? Good works, right? So our relationship with God might look a little different based on what God is doing with us. And so I can learn a whole lot about who God is by what he's doing in you. Right? You with me? We're created in an image of an us. C.S. Lewis puts it, and I cannot remember the book. I read it at some point. It has vanished from my mind. But in one of his books, and I'm just going to throw generic names at it, but he names three friends. Okay, I'm going to probably nab some names in the room. Let's take Robert and Mark and Dane, okay? We got three friends, Robert, Mark, and Dane. And they have a deep, loving relationship. They're very close. They enjoy each other. They're transparent with each other. They know each other really well. Well, at some point, life happens, and Robert passes away. And as they're processing the grief, Lewis puts it like this. He says, Mark says, well, at least I get more of Dane now. Right? At least I get more of Dane now. Lewis says the reality is that Robert brought something out of Dane that Mark could not. And so rather than Mark having more of Dane, he had less. Does that make sense? And Lewis concludes that how much greater is that when it comes to Christ and knowing Christ? How much greater do we get to experience the incredible depth that is our Savior in deep relationships? Hebrews, well, before I jump in, I've gotten ahead of myself. The other reason why I think, just from an honest standpoint, that we need community is this. Anytime I go back and listen to myself teach a sermon, right? I'm like, do I sound like that? Right? Do I sound like that? Or maybe I go back and watch the video. Do I look like that? Right? Holy. And your friends who are sitting around you go, yes. You both sound and look like that. Right? We build up so many filters in our own mind to try and tell ourselves who we are that we need close, intimate relationship where we have given permission to those around us to, listen, speak truth into my life, because without you speaking that truth into my life, I don't really know who I am. I think my voice stinks and I look funny, right? And how rewarding is it if someone who you don't really know, right? You're walking around and someone says, I think you're a delightful person. That feels pretty good. But if someone who knows you deeply, intimately, every fiber of your being says to you, you're one of the most delightful people I know. That's powerful. That's powerful. All right, Hebrews 3. Let's take a peek. Hebrews 3:13. This is why the Bible says we need relationship, because we like to fool ourselves. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It's tricky. And we need each other, right? Hebrews is saying encourage each other. It's not stand in the mirror, encourage yourself. Right? Encourage each other. We need each other. Jesus knew that we were created in the image of an us. And so as his ministry is wrapping up, he prays this prayer. And I think as we think through everything we've talked about to this point, think about this prayer of Jesus in John 17, 20 through 23. He's praying for the people that he was with, but not only for the people he was with. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, okay? That's us. And here's the prayer, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, that the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We are created in the image of an us. It's easy in our individualistic culture to think of unity as us meeting and having some kind of like common ground and being like, all right, here's our platform for doing great things. But I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. He is inviting all of us to enter the dance. Like he and the Spirit and the Father, tight-knit, enjoying, rejoicing, delighting in each other. Will you join the dance? So one more element I want to point out from this text, and I'll invite up the team for communion and the worship team. But before I wrap up, I think it's important to point this out, because we started by talking about trust, right? We're in Genesis, we're on this platform of trust, and there was something about, what about Adam in Eden made him so free that when he sees Eve, he goes, finally, at last. What was it? Well, we see that in the final verse. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. They didn't feel any shame. They didn't need to control anything. They didn't need to hide anything. Their identity was completely stable and secure. And so they could live in transparency with both God and each other and no shame. And we're going to see next week, as pride works his way into these image bearers, that this unashamed living disintegrates. And as I thought about this, I thought, you know, the only way that I think we can approach this kind of living today, you want to know what that is? You want to know? You want to know?
Yes.
Yes, we want to know. Of course we want to know. Of course we want to know. We need a spiritual covering. We need a spiritual covering. When Jesus died on the cross, stripped of his clothing, so that we could be, he did this so that we could be covered. God could see who you are. All of those things you think you are hiding, he sees. And he sent his son anyway. When they created the world, at the end of creation, God says, it's finished. And he rested. Similarly, on the cross, Jesus said, it's finished, so that we can rest. Friends, if you believe this incredible love of Jesus in such a way that you can be naked and unashamed before God, knowing that you are completely covered, then this can empower you to be naked, transparent, seen by anyone, because you know you are loved and approved by God, and so you can have unashamed relationships with others. Last week, Glenn said, I have no greater advice to you than to trust God wholeheartedly with your life. And I pray this morning that that is the case. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for today. Lord, as we are preparing our hearts and minds to take, to receive communion, God, that we would fully embrace this incredible, all-satisfying sacrifice that Jesus made for us. That we would feel in a whole new way the covering that was purchased at great price, so that we can be in front of you, naked, transparent, and unashamed. And Lord, that out of that, we would have transparent relationships with others that would build us up, that would grow us in maturity towards Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.